addition to that, and the monitoring results, we can make those available and I'll provide them to through the to provide the 2016 monitoring results and previous years that they're available as well to tell the story of growth. There is no report that accompanies the compliance contours, but the noise management plan and also QOC's designation explains their purpose and how they are put together and so forth, and also some of the terminology that's used. So I'm happy to provide any copies of both of those as well, if that might be of assistance. I think the noise management plan is available on QOC's website.
Yes, of course. What sort of time frame are you thinking?
As soon as
been emailed at this moment, so...
Oh, so we're talking, yeah, that's okay. Yeah, so I just wanted to make sure that it wasn't...
Well, it might not be today, actually, because I'm going to move this afternoon, but tomorrow.
Yes, no, that's okay. This week is fine.
Yes, yes. Okay. That's right,
we'll
check in. Mr. Kyle.
Yes, Mr. Kyle.
Good morning, Commissioners. Still just morning.
Yes.
You should have in front of you... short summary of my evidence. I just noticed that the paragraphs aren't numbered, which is a cardinal sin. I'm sorry about that. Hopefully that will
help. Very nice arrows beside
them. Yeah. I'm sure on my screen there were numbers. But it's printed out with the very nice arrows. So apologies for the lack of paragraph numbering, but I'm sure we'll manage. If I could just start at the heading within PC 35 aircraft noise boundaries, because preceding three bullet points are preliminary. QAC submitted in opposition to a number of submissions seeking to upzone land where they would enable the intensification of activities sensitive to aircraft noise, or ASAN, within the PC 35 aircraft noise boundaries. With the exception of one submission, all of the Section 42A reporting officers have recommended rejecting submissions that would allow for the intensification of ASAN within the PC35 aircraft noise boundaries. In response to these recommendations, a number of submitters have still sought to upzone their land holdings. However, they have recommended the inclusion of new land use provisions that would prohibit the intensification of ASAN within the PC35 aircraft noise boundaries. I support these recommendations insofar as they are consistent with the New Zealand standard for airport noise management and the expert evidence presented by Mr. Day. While I acknowledged that there are measures available to try and mitigate the effects of the aircraft noise, such as through acoustic insulation and mechanical ventilation, such measures are not effective in addressing effects on outdoor quality. In my view, allowing the intensification of ASAN within the aircraft noise boundaries and exposing more people to the effects of aircraft noise will also inevitably give rise to reverse sensitivity effects for QAC. This may ultimately result in the curtailment of aircraft operations, as has been observed at other airports, both nationally and internationally. With respect to submission 790, the Section 42A reporting officer has recommended accepting this submission despite its location within the PC35 aircraft noise boundaries. The Section 42A reporting officer has treated this submission as an exception because she considers that it remains consistent with the intent of PC35 and only enables the development of one additional residential unit within the relevant noise boundary. I do not agree with this recommendation and remain concerned that making such an exception could establish a precedence for other proposals which enable just one more dwelling. QAC also files submissions with respect to rezoning proposals located beyond the PC35 aircraft noise boundaries. With respect to these rezoning proposals, the Section 42A reporting officers have generally recommended that the proposals be rejected, but not for the reasons set out in QAC's submission evidence. As noted in my primary evidence, aircraft noise effects do not stop at the OCB and are still experienced, albeit to a progressively lesser extent, beyond the OCB. Rezoning proposals will ultimately bring more people to the aircraft noise effect, both now and into the future. QAC has experienced a sustained period of passenger growth in recent years, with recent forecasts indicating that this growth has the potential to reach 3.2 million passengers per annum by 2025. With such significant growth on the horizon, it is appropriate to adopt a cautious approach for rezoning requests beyond the OCB, as the built form outcomes arising from the PDP are likely to extend beyond the life cycle of the PDP. This approach is consistent with the recent directions provided by the proposed RPS, and I think you would get that policy within my evidence in chief, so if you would leave Mr. Chen and I.
Evidence about designations 230 and 570, I think that Stream 7 will be one of those.
Yes, that's right. I think they're related to those meteorological
I don't think they're in front of us in reality, because the designation Stream 7 should have dealt with that matter.
I think that's right. That's my recollection. Yes.
Just to pick up on the question about SMs and NZS605, other noise sensitive users.
Yes.
Can you align about the definition of the PDP with NZS605?
I can certainly tell you what I did back in 2000. It was about 2006 when the PC35 provisions were being written. In essence, what happened was the definition of ASAP from the standard was looked at in light of the range of activities which were defined in the operative plan, where those activities had likelihood of people being exposed for long periods of time. Residential is a very obvious one. Hospital is another one which is specifically nominated in the standard, but there are a range of other activities in the plan for the definition. Such as daycare facilities or community activities where people could be exposed to aircraft noise for reasonably pronounced or long periods of time. So what happened was effectively an audit of those types of activities, and where there was some thought that they would result in prolonged exposure, they were also included in ASAP. And the terms used from the operating plan were used in the ASAP definition to avoid confusion.
Okay. I was going to ask about Mr. Gillins and the Bright Street. Mr. Giddens of Bright Street again. He's seeking some sort of commercial or office zoning.
Yes.
One of the considerations that we discussed with Mr. Osborne, the assessor who evaluated demand for future uses, was whether or not a rule, rather than zoning, a rule might work along the lines of an existing building could have, say, two full-time equivalent workers in it, and stay residential, but or go commercial, but have a limitation on the number of people. We didn't go into it in such a perfect way that we knew we were going. Just that Mr. Osborne said in situations like Mr. Giddens, and he wasn't talking about aircraft things at the time, he was just talking about the location.
Yes.
That might be a way through for Mr. Giddens. Mm-hmm. Have you got any observations on that?
I don't have any particular difficulty if such a rule enables commercial type activity on this property. The concern that the QAC expressed in its submission was more about the fact that some commercial zones also enable residential activity. And I think Mr. Gibbons' fallback position, if he said no to commercial, was high density residential or medium density residential.
Certainly had a lot of room to
move. Well, those are the types of activities that, that are obviously defined as ASIC.
So, a commercial, an office in a limitation on, you wouldn't care about the limitation on the number of people if it was a commercial zone, long as there was a prohibition on ASIC.
Office accommodation is not ASIC.
Well, that's right. Well, it is and it isn't. Because it says, that's why I was looking at that definition, that it excludes government and local government offices from ASIC. And it's silent on other kinds of offices.
Because it doesn't cover commercial activity, certainly my interpretation is that's excluded from the definition of ASIC.
The whole boundary problem with planning in this case, because I mean, an early childhood education facility is entirely commercial.
Yes.
Thank you.
But the children locked up for prolonged periods of time.
I think that was me, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
When you were considering which upzoning submissions you might oppose, what sort of filter did you put on that? How extensive? Because some of the sites are reasonably away from MSCB, aren't they?
Yeah. The filter that was applied was to essentially look at what was a 50 contour based on the PC35 calculations and overlay that onto the planning map and just see which submitters were inside that. That was the course approach that was taken at the time.
But that's something which, you know, the airport and its consultants have access to, and we know it.
The 50, that it's probably right, yes.
Well, it's shown in Mr. Day's.
Yes, and that part.
Yeah, his blue diagram, I think.
Oh, yeah,
that was the
answer. Okay, that's the answer. That was my question, and that was the answer. A very small one, that single site. And you're concerned about a precedent, or just one more precedent. I put it to you, that's a highly anomalous situation. It would be pretty easy to defeat a precedent argument based on that, wouldn't it?
Well, who knows who's next? I know it's an area of reserve. It seems the council wants to sell that off, perhaps. But there could be other areas inside the OCB, also similarly currently quite locked up and precluded from development that could be freed up in future. You know, there is a lot of reserve area in Frankton. Certainly if you're a subdivider in the district, the council seems to not want any additional land, and in fact is going in the other direction. So some rationalisation of that space could be inspired by one decision that you make.
Need to check your main evidence statement before I open anything. I just want to clarify, and perhaps it's just reflecting my lack of understanding, this area that, for the purpose of this area, we've been calling the North Frankton Flats, and you may not be familiar with that phrase yet, but it's basically the area north of State Highway 6, let's say, starting at the cemetery and through to Quail Rise, where there's a number, as you know, there's a number of zoning submissions. I think you're saying that you're content with to be in the business mixed-use zone outside the OCB.
Yes.
Doesn't that contain a residential component?
Does. There's, as I say in my rebuttal statements, a couple of them. I think there's something of a difference in that area. We can compete with others. We're increase argument is being sought. And that difference mainly relates to the fact that that area is only influenced by the contours, the noise contours from the crosswind runway. And the, at least in large part, the crosswind runway, and the likelihood of activities intensifying on that runway at the same rate or to the same extent as on the main runway in the future is much, much lower. And certainly it seems that the projected growth in aircraft activity at Queenstown is highly focused on the main runway. And it may be in the future, as general aviation operators upgauge their aircraft to cater for demand, because those aircraft are larger, they too will be focused on using the main runway, because they don't have the same constraints around the wind.
I hadn't appreciated that. I see now looking at the map, there's a load that extends out.
Yes, the shark fin.
Yeah.
And that's created by the crosswind runway.
Right.
Is it your...
The whole thing?
From that, would you see potentially that the use of the crosswind runway may actually reduce?
Indeed, it might. Certainly, if
from
the operators,
point of view, not from the noise, yes.
Yeah, if the operators upgauge aircraft, which is likely to occur over time, as you know, their numbers increase, then they won't have the same need for a crosswind runway.
But the helicopters, are they a factor in that?
Yeah, they are.
That's an activity that could well increase.
Yeah, well, it could well. It's a pretty full operation now from a helicopter point of view, but their takeoff path is a little bit variable, but generally speaking they are required to follow the alignment of the runway and take off.
Getting back to that big business mixed use, that was one of a number of options that submitters have put forward, and some of them are after other forms of residential development, ranging from the low density to the high density, sort of the whole gamut. Or the other mixed use zone, which is the local shopping centre zone. Does your comment apply to any of those other alternatives?
My understanding was that for the most part those submitters were content to not have ASEAN activity inside the existing OCB on that site.
But I mean, I understand about that, about the OCB, but outside of the existing OCB.
Outside of the
existing. Any form of zoning which would allow for ASEAN is not, in that area, it's not a problem for me.
I don't have the same degree of concern as I do for land affected by future growth on the main runway.
Then on that same topic, the triangular site at the corner of Hanson Road and the State Highway. Which is zone rural under the proposed plan, the ground land. That is fully subsumed by the OCB. What practical uses do you see could be made of that land? I raise this because you've been your rebuttal evidence have commented on this. I'm just wondering what practical use you see could be made of that land.
I certainly think commercial or industrial use would be, and this is just taken an airport or applying an airport lens, if you like.
Well, I'm asking you as a planner, not as an expert planner, not as the airport's witness.
Yeah, well, I've only considered in the context of aircraft noise management. I haven't looked at that land at Fort Wild G, how would that be used, having considered impact on traffic circulation or those types of things. But if all those things could be, those other considerations could be ticked off to your satisfaction, i.e. no adverse effect on traffic, no adverse effect on landscape, those types of things, then commercial or industrial use on that land I have no difficulty with. So long as there is a preclusion against assent.
Now, I asked Ms. Walt, she the question to you about the shopping centre zone across the road, the One Hanson Road site, which has recently been granted consent for residential subdivision. I presume from the look on your face that you're unaware of that.
I'm reasonably surprised about
it. Was not notified.
Yes. That's interesting. If it's in the OCB, that is a surprise.
Yes. To be frank, the panel was surprised when we heard it, which is why I'm asking the question. You obviously haven't heard of it. That's fine.
No.
The
QAC does ask us to look at all of the consents that council receives to determine whether they may have an interest, and we do focus on, as you would expect, that type of that type of proposal, but that's not one that I'm familiar with at all. And I am surprised it was processed on a non-notified basis if it is inside the OCB.
And we were told by the planner that turned up on their behalf, on that, the owners of that site's behalf last week, that there's another more dense subdivision application stored before the council that hasn't been settled. So, yes. Which is creating for us a conundrum because it's zoned local shopping centre.
Yes.
But the landowner seems to want residential.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I understand that the airport's position is that it remains the same in terms of the assets on that land.
Look, normally if a proposal like that comes to the attention of the airport would write to the council and ask for the application to be notified, and these are the reasons, and would also engage with the applicant and say, do you understand and realise that this land is affected by the OCB? These are the ramifications.
Mr. Chair, may I ask? Then a supplementary, what is the local process for you finding out whether an application is being lodged?
Well, once a month the council produces a list.
Yeah.
Sometimes once a month, sometimes not once a month. Now, picking becomes more than five miles away, every couple of months. And it's just an attempt to be vigilant in that way. It's not fail-safe.
Well, I was just wondering about that. Has the airport in the past sought to be identified as an effective failure of the plan?
Yeah.
It wasn't on other hearings, so I don't know that.
I believe that through PC19, which is the pipeline, QAC was seeking that type of regime, but that was for SN development beyond the OCB because all SN development through the OCB is prohibited. But ultimately, that wasn't pursued with any vigour because the court was more focused on other issues.
It strikes me that you're a bit like NZTA and Iwi, really. A special case in certain areas.
Probably a fair summary.
And the plan to set up a protocol.
The alternative approach that has been taken is to try and work with council officers on a progressive basis to ensure they do understand what the notations that they mean. And QAC has been quite active in doing that. It's been not active enough.
Just some context for this. There is some difficulty in that the council's officers have, because the Environment Court hasn't yet issued a final decision on plan change 35, and because the there are a number of, the turnover of planners at the council is quite high, education is an ongoing issue for QAC.
Well, just a final matter, Mr. Farrell. I take it from a planning sense, just your discussion earlier on ASAMs, that it would be perhaps an objective to ensure that the hospital did not end up within the air noise boundary. Would that be a fair?
Well,
given the air noise prohibited within the air noise boundary.
That was always seen as quite a difficult situation. Same applies to the school at Frankton.
Well, I'm thinking more the hospital, because at the moment the air noise boundary seems to run along the back wall of the hospital.
Certainly got very close to it after that during PC35.
What does that create any constraints on expanding the noise boundary, that hospital staying there?
It runs two ways, doesn't it? It could be a reason to constrict or somehow curtail the increase in operations in that area.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Yes, whether it provides, because the District Health Board doesn't seem interested in moving the hospital.
No. Interestingly, nor has it been all that interested in getting too upset about what the airport was up to. And pertinent to look at the type of hospital that it is. And as I understand it, it generally doesn't have people there for really long periods of time.
Although that may change given the growth rate in the district.
Yes, but whether that's a suitable site for a much expanded hospital, which is probably inevitable in the fullness of time, I don't know.
Certainly don't have any, there obviously hasn't been any discussions between the DHB and the airport.
There was during PC35, and ultimately, if the airport is in a position to have to relook at the way aircraft noise is managed in the future at the airport, then again, that engagement will create good.
Okay. Spend a bit on it, maybe for my own education. What's the real rationale for regarding hospitals as assets?
It wasn't something we had to think about terribly much, because the standard includes hospitals.
The standard is quite specific about hospitals.
Yeah.
Very limited experience overnight stays in hospitals, you get some sleep if you're lucky.
It's not normally aircraft that keep you away.
And the people and the staff bussing around the telling things to other patients.
I don't know why they were specifically identified.
Is that something Mr. Day could help us with?
No, I was not on the committee that wrote the standard, but I was engaged by a client at the time to review it. But I think often we give too much weight to specific wording and standards because they get developed by a series of committees, and there's battles over some words and other areas that get written and nobody gets to it, and so it goes through and seems logical. But I think the objective was that, particularly in Queenstown, that hospital would operate with its windows open during the day, people are trying to convalesce, and if they're woken by high levels of aircraft noise when they're trying to rest and recuperate, then it's not a good idea. So.
Yeah. Thank you. Any further questions?
Thank you.
Well, thank you. That's the case for QAC. And hopefully some of your questions about the details of the growth that I refer to in my legal submissions have been answered today. And as Ms. Trigetchka has indicated, QAC is intending to commence public consultation on the master plan within the next month. And if that does commence whilst this panel is still sitting, I will endeavour to provide you with whatever information I can.
Yes, there has to be it would have to be by the 13th of September. Yeah. Otherwise, we would be beyond where we're sitting, and the council wouldn't have the opportunity to reply to it.
Just make
time
on do what I can in that regard, and hopefully we can get something to you that might assist you further in your deliberations.
Yeah. In which case I'll be doing it.